Hello, everyone. My name is Arturo Toledo, and I am a product manager for the web platform team. I just got here yesterday, visiting from Redmond. I'm very excited to be here with you. It's the second year in a row that I am, I have the opportunity to join you here in Brussels. And unfortunately, as always, you know, I just come here and I have to leave almost the same day. So, but I know there's a strike, I think, going on in the airport, so I might actually have to stay, which will be great, but let's see what happens. So today I have two sessions. The first one is on Expression Blend 4, and the second one is on Web Matrix. In this particular session, we're going to be basically exploring what's new in Expression Blend 4, and I am also going to spend a little bit of time showing you some of the features that we have to support Windows Phone design, user interface design, right within the tool. So of course, before I begin, I would like to ask a few questions to get a feel for you guys and the audience. So raise your hand if you consider yourself a developer. Developer, okay? Raise your hand if you consider yourself a designer. Okay? And raise your hand if you consider yourself a hybrid. Some of those people who have the ability to do a little bit of both. Great. So I usually like to ask that third question because in this new world of technologies where user experience is the driver, you get to see more and more of these people who have the ability to deal with both situations. It kind of reminds me a little bit of the Renaissance, you know, a few centuries ago where, you know, people were a lot into art, but they were also a lot into engineering at the same time. And so having that healthy balance of gives you a lot of architecture capabilities. But of course, the creative, the design, the pure 100% designer will always be there as well as the engineer. So let's get started because I really like to do most of my sessions by showing you things on the screen instead of just talking and talking throughout slides. So this is what we're going to cover. Very simple agenda, right? What's new in Expression Blend 4, some of the support for Windows Phone. And these are basically the core areas where we've improved Expression Blend 4. As you can see, we have new things in Sketchflow. Graphics and layout, so we continue to push some of those features to help designers be more creative. Controls, just to give you an idea, WPF 4 controls now, of course, support states, same thing as Silverlight controls did. View and view model, which is the MVVM model, which has been getting really popular, is now supported. Data and resources, so there are new features there. Animation, there are a couple of interesting new additions there in the way that you create animation and that you can select keyframes. I will show you that in a moment. And project management as well. Let's get started with Sketchflow. So who has been using Sketchflow since it got released? Could you raise your hand? Okay. Who has never heard of Sketchflow before this session? Okay, so maybe it's Word that we go through. Sketchflow just real quick, so we get a feel for it, and then I can show you some of the features we have as part of that. So let's bring Expression Blend 4, and what we are going to do here is we're going to create a new project, and you know what? I think I'm going to change my screen because otherwise it's going to be impossible. Let's go to screen resolution. I think I'll just duplicate. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, otherwise it's going to be impossible. There you go. So let's create a new project. And so if you've never created a Sketchflow project before, it's located right here under New Project, Sketchflow. And Sketchflow is basically a set of features inside of Expression Blend that helps you prototype and sketch out experiences really quickly. So I'm going to go ahead and create a new project on Sketchflow. And this will basically give me an empty artboard where I can start laying things out. Let's close this little window up here. And we'll take a look at the artboard. And I'll show you the basics of Sketchflow. Here you have your artboard. Down here, you have something called the Sketchflow map, which allows you to quickly start laying out the different screens that will create your project. So this is for prototyping, for early of your application. One of the things we want to do is we want to start creating the flow or defining the flow of our application. So for example, the screen number one might be the login screen. And then we can drag and create a new screen. And this will be, you know, kind of, this will be home. And then we could create another screen. And this one will be, could be fail, right? In case someone mistyped the login information, they will be taken to a fail page. And we can change the color for these screens. And you would like to change the color because that immediately, when someone starts looking at this Sketchflow map down here, you can immediately start getting a better feel for the flow of your application by using colors. But as you can see, basically down there, what we're doing is we're defining the flow of our app. Now, each of these screens basically is a different file that we are going to design now. So if I go to the login screen, the next thing I want to show you as part of a Sketchflow is the ability for you to add controls. Now, when you create an early version of your application, a wireframe, a prototype, you want that prototype to look like a prototype, to look kind of sketchy and look like it's some work in progress. I don't know if you guys have had the experience with your customers or your clients before, but whenever at the very beginning of a project you show something that looks very detailed and very well designed, your customers actually start paying more attention to the way your project looks like compared to the way it works, right? So for that, we have this series of controls which have a sketchy style. So I'm going to draw a button. And you can see how that button has kind of a sketchy look and feel, like it was drawn by hand. So when you show this button to your customer, to your client, or to other people in your team, they are not going to think that that's the way you want your button to look like. They will understand it's simply a button. And the design, the visual design, will be specified later. So this button will be the login button. So let's type in login here. And now we have to create two text boxes. One of them will basically allow the user to type in login information, the name. So this would be login name. And the other text box that we're going to use is going to be a password text box. Now, one of the things that you will notice here is that these controls are not just graphics that are kind of static and for visual purposes. They are actually fully functional controls that you can start using. So notice also that when I move elements around, I have these snapping, which allows you to quickly start arranging things in a way, you know, that they all look aligned, and it's quite easy. It makes it really easy. So I'm going to press F5, and this will launch the Sketchflow application that we're building. And so we go to the browser. Let me refresh. And so we see it. Bless you. And so we see here what we call the Sketchflow player. Now, this Sketchflow player runs with Silverlight or with WPF, depending on what each of the platforms that you're targeting. You would use Silverlight for web-based applications that can also go outside of the browser. And you would use WPF if you're creating Windows-only applications. But either way, Sketchflow supports both projects. Now, this Sketchflow player will work for your clients or your customers, even if they do not have Expression Blend. And that's a very important concept. Many of us will create wireframes, prototypes, and we'll send them to our customers for them to review, to give us feedback. And we don't want them to have Expression Blend, right? So they will just be able to play this prototype. And so here I could go in and I could type in my login information, and I could type my password, and I could click the login button. Now, in the next step, we're going to make this interactive. Now, here on the left side of the screen, you see we have a feedback section. So here under feedback, I can myself, you know, or my teammates or my customers can add feedback. So for example, let's consider adding a background photo. And so that comment or that feedback gets saved. It can also be sent to us. And those feedback items, this is something new in Expression Blend 4. You can add them to Expression Blend 4 as a designer, and then you can keep track of the feedback that you're receiving. If you have a SharePoint service, what's something that's new is you can now add feedback items as tasks inside of SharePoint so that the team can collaborate and can see how, you know, the application is moving along. Also, if you use TFS, feedback items will also generate new task items inside of TFS. And of course, as you've probably seen before, maybe this is a little bit of the sketching feature that we have in the Sketchflow player. So maybe your customer, you know, they sell snowboards, and so we want to have some sort of a photograph of mountains, and so someone can give you a feeling for kind of what you're looking for. And all these concepts you will receive, you can save them. And again, this is a very iterative process. This is, of course, not the way the mountain will look like, right? But you want to communicate and start sharing these different ideas with people. So let's close this. And let me see, maybe I should save. Let's export the feedback. And I'm going to say I created it, AT. And I am going to save it here in the desktop. So home, feedback. And what that creates a file called .feedback. That's actually the extension that you can then add to Expression Blend. So how do we start creating interactivity? Well, it's very simple. Let's say we wanted to simulate going, you know, having been successful in filling up our information. So I can right-click my login button, and I can say, when I click you, you're going to go to home, right? And so when I go to home, let's maybe change the background color of this container control to green so that we can actually see or communicate that this was a correct access. And let's change fail to red. And we press F5 again. This is very similar to control enter in Flash. If you're a Flash user, that's pretty much what F5 does. And so here we should be getting our Flash, our Sketchflow player. Let me refresh. And let's go back here. Let's try again. There you go. So again, you know, I simulate that I type in some type of information. I click login, and I'm taken to that screen. So just to create very, very basic interactivity, you can just do that. Right-click, navigate. Again, prototyping, wireframing purposes. Now, something that's new in Expression Blend 4 is the ability for you to add conditional behaviors. So for instance, here, if we wanted to navigate to another page, there is a concept called behaviors. If you had, if you ever played with a Macromedia Director, now Adobe Director in the past, you probably remember this concept called behaviors. And behaviors are basically pieces of code that a developer creates that can be shared with designers, and that allows designers to add advanced functionality to an application without having to code. So in this particular case, if I wanted to navigate to a different screen, I can add this behavior over here. And, I think I have a couple of them. And when I add this behavior, if you can see on the left side of your screen, we have navigate to screen behavior. And here we have a new box called conditions. And this is what basically can start making you or helping you create much more complex interactivity without having to code. So in this particular case, we're going to say when I click you, login button, and we can add a condition. And here we could say, okay, so let's go to value. And let's do data binding. And we're basically going to say if the text box text property, where do you see that? If the text box text property equals, and let's say Arturo T, and right now I'm only going to do the login page, the login field, then you know, perform this action, which is navigate to the screen. So what, where do I want to go? I want to go to home. So let's press F5 and see if this works. But basically, with conditional behaviors, you have the ability to start adding some more logic to your wireframes and prototypes. And not only to that, but also to things like final applications. It doesn't have to be a prototype. So let's see if this works, actually. Arturo.t, login, and maybe I mistyped something here. Oh, I see what this is. This should be. Let's try this. Let's see if this works. Oh, I must be doing something wrong. I don't want to do this as a, make this a session a debugging session, but you know, basically all the other behaviors that we have here, go to state, hyperlink action, there are things that allow you to control animations. You can now basically add conditions. And you can add, by the way, multiple conditions. It doesn't have to be one. And you have different operators, whether it's equal or larger or different, et cetera, et cetera. So Sketchflow, again, it's a very simple tool, but that allows you to really put together wireframes or prototypes. Yes. Sorry, what was that? Oh, thank you. By the way, anytime if you help me, can help me debug, that's going to be fantastic. Thank you. And actually, the first property should have actually been fine. Yeah. Here. This should be data binding to the text box. Text. Let's try this new one. So data store, by the way, is when you have a database, right, or you have an XML file or any type of data. Let's see if it renders now. You can also set a condition for that. That's actually really useful. Say you were creating a prototype for a financial application, and you have a number that is positive or negative. And based on, you know, whether it's positive or negative, you want to color that item in red and green. So that's a way you could do it. So let's see if now this does work. Yes, so thank you very much. And again, with Sketchflow, basically you have all these different elements and all these different controls. For example, there are checkboxes, there are radio buttons, scroll bars, and everything has this kind of sketchy look and feel and can help you create wireframes and prototypes. Now, a lot of people have asked me if you can use Sketchflow to prototype things that are not silver, like your WPF, like an iPhone application or iPad, or in the near future, Windows Phone. Certainly, this is basically for you to prototype any user interface-based experience that you want. So going back here, let me jump directly into graphics and layout. And so here in graphics and layout, one of the new things that we support is FXG. And I'm going to be showing you this FXG, Adobe FXG support, as part of the Windows Phone demo that I'll do towards the second portion of this session. And it is actually interesting. With FXG, we support the ability to preserve symbols. So if you're in Illustrator, Adobe Illustrator, and you have symbols, if you create, for example, a game, all those symbols will be preserved as individual elements inside of Expression Blend. Pixel shader effects, pixel shader effects have been around for a while, but if you've used previous versions of Expression Blend, you will know that we only had two effects in the past, and now we've added basically a bunch more. So let's create a new project. These effects are dynamic. And basically, they allow you to, you know, to apply different things. You know what? Maybe we could do something more fun. Maybe we can copy this monster over here, and this will help us just test out some of the effects that we have here. So let's go to assets. The assets tab contains basically everything that you can use, from controls to styles or behaviors. And here are some of the effects. So as you will see now, we have many more effects that you can utilize. So you can, let me drag and drop this one here. You can see this starts applies some type of pixelation. These effects are rendered in real time. So let's say you wanted to create a little animation, which you can create by hitting this plus sign button. You create a new animation, and let's call this pixelation animation. If you have experience with Flash and this is your first time seeing Expression, one of the things in Expression Blend and, of course, Windows Phone Silverlight is the ability for you to create any number of animations per object. You're not restricted to one single timeline. Like in Flash, we have the concept of a movie clip that has only one single timeline. The timeline is a movie clip, effectively, right? So here you can basically create any number of animations per each of the objects. So let's create an animation here. I can press the F6 button, and that brings my timeline down here. And I can move my time slider to, say, 2 seconds. And notice that these numbers are not frames per second. They're actually seconds. The system, the animation system for Silverlight, which, of course, you will see translated into Windows Phone, is based on time. So this animation system is actually much more like the things you find in Adobe After Effects or 3D Studio Max or Maya, which you design things thinking on about time. And so here we are going to basically change the pixelation level just a little bit more, maybe even more, just so to make it kind of exaggerated. And so you can see you can animate that. And of course, you could make it go back to zero. Let's see. It goes back. And of course, if you wanted to repeat this forever, you can right-click over the element. Let me see if I'm right-clicking or, oh, here you go. Right-click, edit repeat count. So a lot of people wonder initially, how do you repeat forever or do things like that? So this is the way you do it. If you click this infinite button, it will repeat forever if we were to play this animation. Now, if I press Control F5, this animation will not play because we have not, told it to play. So there you go again. So how can we play an animation? Well, let's go back here, and let's add a button. Just a very simple button. And this button has a predefined look and feel. It's kind of gray, and we can change its look and feel. Right now, let's just call it animate. So you could call it whatever you want. This is basically gonna be the label that's gonna be in there. And let's change its look and feel. So I'll edit the template. In Silverlight, in Expression Blend, we have something called templates, which is what you use to basically define the look and feel of controls. And so here, what I'm going to do is I am going to change the background. You see? There. And I'm going to draw a rectangle. I'm going to make the rectangle fill the entire space it's in. I could manually bring this over here, but it can take some time, a microsecond more. So there's actually this feature that not a lot of people use. If you right click and you do auto size and you do fill, that element will immediately fill the entire area. And now here I can start changing some of the parameters here. So if I wanted to create something more interesting with rounded corners, I could do something like that. Maybe something that matches a little bit of the color of my monster. And every time that I start doing visual design kind of demo, I start getting really into it, and I take a long time, so I keep it very simple. But you can see how now we have this. Let's change it to maybe to white, and let's make this just a little bigger. Okay, so now we've customized our button. So if again, if this is the first time you see Expression Blend, you will immediately notice that these are very different process of creating a button, for instance, in Flash. In Flash, when you create a button, you select a collection of graphics, you press F8, you say convert into a button, and then you get three states plus the hit area, right? So here, it's a little different. If I go back into my button, you will notice that we actually don't have just those three states. We have all of these states on the bottom left of your screen. So this concept here is very similar to Flash. So this is the normal state. This is the mouse over state. So if I wanted to change the look and feel of my button when I roll over, I can select mouse over, and then I can go to my button and I could change the, you know, maybe one of these colors. I can make it be a little shiner or something like that. And I can go back. Let's press Control F5. I don't know why I'm having these refresh problems in the browser, but you can see how I roll over and I have an effect. Now, the interesting thing about these states is you have many other things. For example, you have a particular state for when the button is being pressed, when it's disabled, when it has a focus or it's not focused, etc. So there is a lot of control in there. Okay, so how do we get our animation to get started? Well, we can probably use a behavior. So there is a behavior here called control storyboard action. So I'm going to drag and drop it over my button. And then here I have my behavior. And on the right side of the screen, I can set its properties. So I'm going to say, when I click you, please play, or please stop, or pause, or resume. You have different commands. The storyboard, or the animation, pixel animation. Notice that the official name for animations in Silverlight, and again, same thing with Windows Phone, is a storyboard. So I click this, and we start seeing the animation going on. And we set it to repeat forever, so it's just going to be doing that forever. So you can start, again, if you're new to Expression Blend, you can start seeing how there are some different concepts here. But it's very, very easy without having to code. Okay, so let's go back here to the slides. Shapes is another thing that we have in Expression Blend. And if you go here to Shapes, you will find that now we have a collection of elements that you can just reuse. Traditionally, we've only had rectangle, ellipse, and line. But now, you know, there are things like a callout cloud, which I can draw over here. In case this monster was thinking something. There you go. And there are many other things. There are, you know, there's a star. There are stars that you can configure how many points you want. One of the ones that I like a lot is a ring, because the ring has a lot of properties that you could then just use to create, for example, a loader, the typical loader, right? So let's make the feel go. Let's put it. Here you go. So if I wanted to create a loader, on the right side of your screen, you will find that each of those different shapes have specific features that you can work with here. So this is the start angle for the element. You can see here, by reducing the start angle, you know, you can basically create anything that you want. Now, if I wanted to convert this into a loader, a little bit of the way you would do it, again, is if I create a new storyboard, and this could be the loader storyboard. And notice that we now, by opening this little box, we can see now we have two animations. So if I go to loader, and I go to 1 second, and I change the value for start angle, you know, I could make it go all the way there. So this is something that I could start using to build a loader. This page is so small that it will not take any time, of course, but so there's a lot of shapes here again that you could just use. Now here comes one of the stars of the show in Expression Blend 4, which is the ability to lay items out along a path. And this is really powerful. So let me close this and I will save this project and I'll just create a new one. By the way, is this water I can take? Oh. So this one's really cool. Let me come here and let's take, is this grouped? By the way, I kind of just switched into this other application, and maybe some of you who have never seen it, you don't know what this is. This is Expression Design. This is kind of Expression Blend's little brother. What this one does is it's a small illustration tool. Think of Illustrator, Adobe Illustrator. It's just that this one is much smaller, of course, has less features than Illustrator, but it helps you create a bunch of graphics, as you can see on the screen. A lot of that was imported from Photoshop. All the vector graphics, this is basically a vector-based graphic tool. It's not necessarily a bitmap editing tool like Photoshop, but it's pretty handy. It's really friendly towards Expression Blend. For example, here, let's group all these pieces, which are all based on vectors. And let's bring all of these guys over into Blend. And I hope they're not too big. Oh, no, they're perfect. So let me see if I can. I see what you said. There you go. So let's bring that guy, and let's bring this one as well. You know what? I seem to have this canvas, which I don't need. Oh, did I just remove the nose? Yeah. So, I still have another one. Interesting. Well, let me show you another technique then. That's probably going to save us time. Let's isolate these guys. Here in Expression Design, there's something called slices. And so you can basically draw a slice. A slice is kind of like in Photoshop when you create your slices, that's the way they're called, and then you export parts. But the thing here in Expression Design is you can draw the slices any way you want. So for example, here I drew that slice. I'm going to draw another one here. And I wasn't very precise, so I'm going to change it here. And notice that for each slice, you can select what's the type of file that you want to create. So this one, we can call it Monster 2. This one, this slice is going to create a file of the type PNG, and this is going to be Monster 1. And so the cool thing about this is that you can export your elements in different formats. Another way to create a slice, if you want to be very precise, is you can right-click and say Create Slice from Selection. And so that automatically gives you a slice that fits the area of your monster. And then let's do the same thing with this. Create Slice. This is going to be Monster 4. Oops. Okay, so now export. I was copying them one by one, but it's probably going to take me a while. So I think it's going to be simpler if we do this. Here in Expression Design, you can see each slice you're exporting. And let me choose a place to put them. I'm going to create a folder called Monsters. Okay. And that all seems good. So let's just export and go to Blend. And here in Blend, I'll create a new folder as well called Images. And I'm going to add an existing item. In Flash, this is called Import, but it's the same concept. You're basically just incorporating elements. So I'm going to bring in my four monsters, and I'm going to drag them into my artboard. And then we're going to lay them out in a path. So this layout path feature allows us to do something like this. I will draw a path. Maybe something like this. And let's remove the fill for that. Let's just leave just the path itself. And I'm going to make the path red, just so you guys and I can see it for now. And then what we're going to do is we're going to right-click the path, and we're going to say, turn this into a layout path. And then I'm going to take the first monster, and I'm going to move it over this list box. And notice that I'm getting this little note that says press and release the Alt key to insert this monster into my list box. So I'll press and drop. You can see how that monster kind of snaps into the list box. And now, if I select my list box, we have a bunch of options here. So I could say where this monster will start or where it will end. Now, up to this point, this looks like a simple motion path animation, which we, of course, have in Flash as well or any other interactive tool, right? So, but the interesting thing here is I can start adding maybe other monsters. And they will be also added here. So if you wanted to, if you ever wanted to create a menu that is organic or has round shape or any kind of weird thing, you can just add items, and these will be incorporated in here. Now, this is completely dynamic, so if I wanted to edit the path, I can always come here and, you know, maybe move this around. And this will move as well. So let's pretend for a moment that we create an animation here. And I'm going to move the time slider to 2 seconds, and I'm going to move this control point over here, and this one over here, and maybe I'm going to rotate this a little bit, kind of like if it was swinging. And so you can see the path does the animation, but the elements always are maintaining there. So if I wanted to give this a kind of a more whip effect type of thing, we have something called easing functions or the key spline animation editor. So the key spline, basically what this does is this defines the acceleration or deacceleration of your animation. This is not only for this layout path that I'm showing you right now. This is for all type of animation that you wanted to create. If you created a bouncing ball, this is the way you would do it. So for instance, here what I'm going to do is I'm going to say, please go really, really fast and then really, really slow towards the end. So you might have noticed that looks a little different. There are also some things called easing functions. And so you can have granular control with key spline, or you can apply an easing function. And here what we did is we basically incorporated a collection of algorithms that give you, you know, bouncing effects or cubic circle effects, elastic effects that you can apply. So if I wanted to do a bouncing, here, instead of having to go to code and try to figure out the algorithm, basically here you can just define how many bounces you want and what level of bounciness do you want. So let's see how this works. Right? So you can start seeing a little bit of the potential of all of these things. And again, you don't have to necessarily go into code or anything. It's just tweaking values and really trying to focus on your creativity versus trying to make the tool understand what you're doing. Now, if I go back to our list box here, let me select it again. And you have different things. For there is this thing called Orient to Path. So the Orient to Path feature or option basically allows you to make sure that your elements will always be aligned based on the path itself. So if I go like this, that's the way it would look like that. If I turn that option off, you can see the elements remain straight. So sometimes you will want that, sometimes you will want that, depending on what you're looking for in your particular project, right? So another interesting thing about this concept of the list box is you can, let's move this away. And let's create a sample. Let's create some sample data. So I'll show you how you can create something like we were using this feature for a dynamic menu or, you know, something like that. But you can also use it for a list box that contains information or real data. So Expression Blend has this thing called create sample data. Sample data is mock-up data. A lot of times when we as developers or designers, we're asked to create a wireframe, a prototype, or an actual application, a lot of times we don't have the final database that we're going to be using. So we need a quick and easy way for us to mock up data so that we can design our user interface, right? So this is what this does. We can create a new sample data. And we have by default two properties. So this could be name. This could be price. And let's create another property. This could be an image. So for the name, now this is where sample data gets interesting. If you have, we have different templates. So for the image, let's actually ask to get a sample image. For the name, we can leave, we can basically just ask for text. And you have an actual lorem ipsum generator inside of Blend. And you can say how many words you want or what's the maximum length of the words that you want to use. So here we could just say two words maximum. Oh, did I go to, no, that was fine. And then the price, there is a template for prices. So I can go down here. And so this will create mock-up prices. So if I open this database, you can see how Expression Blend created all that information for you. And it even created that little image, which it gives you like a chair by default, but you can substitute this with any images that you want. And so I'm just going to drag this and drop this list box over here. And let's get rid of the monsters for a second. And so this basically a list box that you can also edit. Now, if I had, let's create a circle. And let's convert this to a path. And then right-click and say path, make layout path. So now this is a list box. We could also apply this collection here. Oops. I don't know if I, there you go. Oh, I guess I'm putting it, oh, there you go. Let's see. Databind, Python, listbox. Yeah, there you go. So instead of having kind of this, you know, normal listbox, which in some cases that's what you will want, you can also create something like this. Now, if I press Control F5, let me see, I might have to, oh, there you go. So these elements are selectable. So this concept of path goes beyond just placing elements in a path. They really allow you to make interactive elements. And of course, we could make this look much cooler than this. OK, so going back here, see if to 145. OK, so I might just go through this, and then I'll just jump into Windows Phone. We have now a rich text box control, which is this is new and basically allows you to host text with format. You can also incorporate images or other elements inside of it. You have transitions related to pixel shader effects that I showed you a moment ago. And we have conditional behaviors. So talking about conditional behaviors, let's do another little test. So new project, just so it's kind of clean. And let's bring back our monster friend. And so we saw a little bit of conditional behaviors, but let's see. There you go. Oop. So let's create a slider. What we are going to be doing is we want to start creating creating the beginnings of an avatar customization app. So we want people to customize their avatar. Maybe it's a monster, and we want them to change the color of the face of the monster. So I can draw a slider right here. And then this slider, let's put some text just so we can kind of debug, make sure this works. And we're going to data bind the value of this slider to this text box. That's pretty simple. I simply have to go to the text, the content of the text, which is this, right? What I want to do is I want to say, please data bind to the slider value, OK. So if I press Control F5, and so if I move my slider, you will see that that text box updates with a number, right? Now, one of the problems here is that this slider, the slider that comes out of the box, does not allow me to have steps. So I don't want 1.16788, da 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 da, right? I just want 1, 2, 3, 4, or something like that. So one thing that you can do is you can use behaviors. So let's go to, do I have internet connection? I think I do. Let's go to this resource that might be useful for you. I hope it loads. Connection is a little bit slow. Maybe, let me see if I have it here already. I might have it here in my computer already, an existing item. Basically, what I'm looking for is a behavior that allows my slider to snap, right? 1, 2, 3, 4 instead of 1.1, ta-da-da. So let me see if I got that one down here. Expression on blend. Projects, and I was creating something a little earlier. Could it be this one? No. Oh, there you go. This is probably going to be faster. On their gallery, there is basically the section where people share free controls, behaviors, or other things that you can get. And again, it's kind of slow, but seems to be loading. Well, while this is loading, let's continue making progress. Yeah. So in the meantime, I still want to do that, but I will add basically 4 little circles here. Let's move this down. And this circle will be the first color. This might be red. And of course, you can imagine, actually, we have some nicer looking elements here for the skin. But you know, for now, I'll just leave it like this. We're going to have 4 colors. So we have those 4. Maybe this one will be yellow. If anyone has a preference on color, let me know. And this one should be maybe a green. And let's see, how is this doing? Great. See, it takes a while, but it gets there. Let's look for a slider. And again, let's let it work. It's taking a while. And basically what we want to do is we want to take the face, which is this element right here. And we want this face element to be data bound to the value of the slider. So the way we can do this here, let me see if this loaded already. It's kind of slow. Let me see, because I don't want to make you guys wait. Let me see if I can open. I'll just open this project, which I already had here, because I don't want to make you guys wait. But I'll show you what I did here. Basically, what I added, this snapping slider CS behavior. That's what I was trying to download from the site, was kind of slow. But this snapping slider behavior is placed here under the behaviors category, snapping slider. I dragged and dropped that behavior over my slider. You can see it here. And so what this does is this allows now my slider to snap. You see how now it snaps. Now, the other thing that I did is I added 4 behaviors called change property action. Change property basically says if I click you or if I roll over you or if I do anything to one of to the object that I'm selecting, I will want to change a property of another element. And so what that is doing here, is I have a condition which says if I'm basically data binding to the value of the slider itself, and I'm saying if the value is 0 or if the value is 3, I guess I didn't put them in order, or if the value is number 2 or 1, so 0, 1, 2, 3, depending on that value, please make the monster face, and notice that I can use this element to pick the element I want to change, and then you basically add the fill color of each of these circles. And I'm sorry I'm not building this from scratch for you guys, but again, I don't want to take time here, so we can still go into Windows Phone. But basically what this does is you can now move your slider and change the face of the monster. I'll be happy to share this project with you if you want to explore. But if you've played with Expression Blend in the previous versions, doing something like this inside of Blend without coding was basically impossible. So now with conditional behaviors, you can do much more complex interactivity. So let's jump into Windows Phone. These are basically just a bunch of other features we have. If you do, if you use Vue models based on MVVM, we support that much easier. We have async functions available now for WPF. The SAML is much cleaner now. We started adding some custom tags, so that's all being cleaned up. Silverlight 4 and Silverlight and WPF4 support now inside of Expression Blend. For some component vendors that sell you custom controls like buttons and scroll bars that you can buy and then you can use from your project, we now support SIP, the SIP format for those, because a lot of times you can just add a SIP file to your project and then you can access the controls directly without having to unzip. Okay, so Windows Phone, because we still have some time. And so for Windows Phone, basically whenever you want to create a new project, you go to the new project page, and here we have a new section called Windows Phone. You will find that we have different types of projects that you can create for Windows Phone. By the way, all the features that I showed you a moment ago, all of that works in Windows Phone. There is only one that doesn't work, which is the path list box. That one is not supported currently. But you know, all the animation concepts that we saw, the data binding, that's all exactly the same. So a Windows Phone application is just without any control. This basically allows you to create anything from scratch, and I'll show you that in a moment. There is also a data-bound application, which is an application that has data connectivity, and applications that are based on the panorama control and the pivot control. So let's create a new panorama app. And this basically gives you this little app. If I press Control F5, what's going to happen is the Windows Phone emulator will immediately launch. The first time that you open it, like this, it will take a little bit to load. And maybe this one is actually going to be faster because I had opened it before. But see, you get here, and you can start playing with this. So right now, I'm just using my mouse here in my computer. It's very simple. This is a panorama control. There is also, and again, by the way, after this session, there is a whole Windows Phone design guideline session. So you know, you guys will probably be able to learn more about Windows Phone design on that session. This is more about Blend, how Blend supports Windows Phone. This is the other type of control that exists. So the first one, panorama, was when you have like long images and you have a lot of content to show that you can move from the left to the right. This one is pivot. And the way pivot works, it's kind of similar, but it basically has a list and it has more like pages. It has a concept of pages. So let's launch it here. And so you can click second or first, right? And you go from one to the other and then you have different options, where the other one was kind of like a long thing, something that felt longer than the screen itself. So let's start creating something here. There is a tab here called Devices. This is where you can switch your phone app to go from being vertical to being horizontal, right? Now, there is another thing here called the theme. So basically, Windows Phone, the Windows Phone design guidelines say there is always a light theme and a dark theme. You can also choose a different tone for your application. And the first time that you do this, you actually have to set this up yourself. And that's why, for example, right now you don't see pink. You would have to access the actual element and data bind the color. For example, color resources, accent color. Let's see if that works there. There, while it launches, so it's launching again. Notice that once we all get our phones, we are actually going to be able to preview right on the emulator, or if you connect, well, I still cannot see the pink in there. It's rebuilt, maybe that helps. But you will be able to test directly on the device, so you can plug your device to your computer and you can test right in there. So let's create a little project here, photo diary. So let me just show you how this will look like at the end so that we know what we're creating. We'll press Control F5. Where's my emulator? There. So this is a little photo app, basically. And here you go. So this uses Pivot. So today we can, basically this is what we're gonna have. We have a collection of photos that we want to display. These photos might come from our device or something like that. So let's create this. I'm going to open this project, which is based on Pivot. And then here, what we're gonna do is we're gonna start defining the names of our options. So here, inside of the Pivot control, I'll select the first item, and the first item I will rename to so that it says today. The second item could say week. The third item, month. And the fourth, year. Okay? So the next thing we are going to do is I believe I already have, let's go to project. Let's add a new source of data. And by the way, this source of data that includes the photos is something that our developer provided in these data models that we have here. So as a designer, you would simply receive these files, add them, and then you could go to data, and you could say, let's create one from today, a data model for today and for the week. Oh, I should have added this one under project. There you go. So now what we're going to do is we're going to add these photos over here. So let's drag and drop photo. You can see how we create a list box, which is similar to the example that I showed you earlier with the path list box. We're going to apply a couple styles here. Apply resource, and maybe this one too, so that we have some separation in between the photos. And I'm going to say auto size to fill. And then I'm going to copy paste this list box and put it inside of week. But now for week, I'm going to drag and drop the photo item of the week. It's actually this one up here. Oh, did I drag week on the previous one? I think I did, right? So let's actually do the other way. Let's drag and drop today over here. And again, let's apply our styles. That basically just add more separation to that. So if I press Control F5, it's going to launch again the app. And we should see our photos right there for today and for a week. Now, all this panning functionality that you see, it actually got created kind of magically because that's just the way the pivot control works. So you don't have to do any of that. When you create applications based on Silverlight for Windows Phone, you can think of three possible ways to target the phone. Using the pivot control, so your application is pivot-based, panorama control, number two, or you could create a completely customized Silverlight application. And of course, you can also mix those concepts as well. So the next thing we want to do is we want to be able to tap on one of those photos and make the photo grow and see more details about that photo. So what we're going to do is we're going to add a new new Windows Phone page, and we're going to go here and we're going to say add new item, and I'm going to add a new Windows Phone page. I'm going to call this detailspage.xaml. Oh, I already have one. Should I overwrite? Yes. I hope that doesn't kill my demo, but basically I'm just adding a new page, which is empty. And now here, I am going to add a group of elements. Let's, right there. Let's import a Photoshop file. You can import Photoshop or Illustrator files, as you might know. And we're going to go over here. And we created a Photoshop file before. This is the Photoshop importer. Notice that you can import and preserve layers. If you have vector-based layers in Photoshop, those will be preserved and will be made editable. And the text fields will also be editable. So I'll just import this over here. You can see how this text is something I can change. This comes directly from Photoshop. If I have it here, I can probably just show it to you. And so the one thing we want to do here is we want to data bind some of these elements here, right? So let's go to data, project, and it's going to be today. Oh, there we go. Just to show you in Photoshop, it's basically the same file that we originally created here. It's got its layers and everything. So one of the things that we started working on really hard since Blend 3, Expression Blend 3, is the ability for you to add a Photoshop or Illustrator files, because we know every designer uses these two tools. So here, what I'm going to do is I'm going to add something called a data context. So I'm just going to drag and drop this element over there. Oh, I have to switch into details. There you go. There you go. And now I have a title field here, right? This is my database. So I will drag and drop title over here, and it data binds the data from my actual data source into this text element that came all the way from Photoshop. And I'll do the same thing for description. Then let me turn this off. This is the background image. This is the image that will look when it's big. And so here I will add the second element, which is photo zoom. So we have the image. So we're going to be able to go from one to the other by hitting a tab. So what I'll do here is I will select these two. Let's actually go to details. Yeah, let's go to details. And we're going to turn this into something called a toggle button. A toggle button is something that's on or off. And inside of the toggle button, we're going to go into states, the states of this control. So remember when we created that button that I showed you, look, this has mouse over, press, da da da. Well, toggle buttons have also something called checked and unchecked, right? So the base state for this will have the text. By the way, we don't need this content presenter. The basic of this will make the text go 0% opacity, so we can see the image. And when it's checked, the opacity will be 100%. So unchecked and checked. So when we tap with our finger, this will go from here to here and vice versa. Okay, so now the next thing I believe we need is we need a way to navigate into that image. So what I'm going to do is I have a behavior that says go to page custom action. And what this basically says is when the selection of this image is changed, please go to details page and play a leave page transition. So I already had a couple storyboards here. Can you see that little animation? So when I tap one of my photos, we're going to get that little animation. And we're going to be sent to this page over here. And let's see if that works. So again, I guess just to emphasize, so basically all these concepts of behaviors and animations and everything that you have in Blend is the same thing that you would use to target Windows Phone. Let's see if this one works. Yeah, there you go. So we have this and that. Now, the metaphor of navigation in Windows Phone is that if we want to go back, that's just the design guidelines, is you press the back button. I guess it's kind of like in iPhone when you press the center button, you're taken back to the main menu or something like that. You know, it's something similar. Now here we didn't come back because we have to also play our, when I'm in details page, I need to, let me see if it's on layout root, toggle button. I believe this is the one that we have to do here. Is it layout? I don't know. Let me open the final one because I want to show you the game. And again, sorry, I have to sometimes jump into the next project, but I want to show you still another thing. But this is basically the final project, and basically the only thing extra that this thing had is it had another behavior here, which is back animation behavior. And this basically just says when you press the physical back button in your phone, please, you know, play this animation. That's all we're saying. Let me show you a couple more things real quick. Over here, when you create a phone app, there is something called an application bar, which is really cool. And so here on the right side of the screen, I will create a new application bar. And in the application bar, you can add items. So I can right-click and say add or icons. So I could add a new icon. And then you can choose what type of icon do you want. You have all the different Windows Phone design guideline approved icons here. So I could choose, for instance, settings. So you go here to settings and you type settings. And then, you know, I could create a few more. So let's add another one, and this could be, I don't know, could be back, etc. So you can basically start laying these items out, and you can also create menu elements, right? So these menu items would be configure or, I don't know, play, etc. So basically, you start defining the menu for your application as well. And in a lot, the design guidelines for Windows Phone are very precise in many things. So that's why a lot of these things is basically just for you to choose from. So if I opened here, you can see we have our menu. And if you were to click settings, you would, of course, then add a behavior that takes you to the settings page, etc., etc. So I think we have to finish almost already, but I have time to show you, maybe within this same project, I have a little file here called Small World. This is a little bit of the way that you could do a game. And so also coming from Illustrator, we had an artist create a bunch of assets to put together a little world game. And you can import these as symbols using FXG. And so I'll import all these symbols. And when you do that, if you go here on the left side, you will see that instead of assets, we now have a new category called Small World. And this basically gives you all the different elements. So I could, let's change the background here so we get something kind of a little nicer. And then we can add a church. And so you get a little church there. The artwork, of course, here is really nice, but you know, you could add, I don't know, anything, a bunch of little apples. Maybe you're creating like an RPG game or something. What else do we want? We want a treasure. This is vector base, so you get some really nice definition there. And then you have trees, different type of trees that the artist created. And so when you work as a team building a game, and by the way, I'm not going full screen right now. Maybe for a game you want to go full screen. But when you're working as a team, you will have an illustrator. You will have a designer. So maybe you, as a designer, you can start designing the level in particular. And you can, of course, animate all these things. So there is an element here, I believe, called a beam, right? So this would be something I would maybe kind of play when an animation you would see when you find a treasure. So what we could do here is we could say we're going to create a new storyboard, call it Beam. And then let me not record. I'll set the beam opacity to 0. I'll move my time slider to 1/2 of a second. And I'm going to make the beam 100% opaque, 1 second time slider, and opacity 0. So but it's basically going to be doing this, right? Right. And we can also make this repeat forever. What I want to do is that when I roll over the treasure, maybe because I discovered it or whatever, that animation will play. So this is called Beam. So now if I go to my treasure, which is this one here, maybe I can apply a behavior called Control Storyboard Action. And this will say when I enter you, when I do mouse enter, which is kind of like a rollover, play the beam animation. And let's test this out. But again, you get a feel for how you can start incorporating some of the elements that you've been using in Silverlight before to create a little game. And oh, you know what? Maybe I have a I have to remove something called a hit area here. Is hit visible? Where is hit visible? Oh, here you are. Well, thank you very much. I'm going to be here. Next session is Windows Phone Design Guidelines, and they're going to go way deeper than what I did here, of course. So thank you very much. Thank you.